Jeremiah chapter 12, as you're turning. I know you probably don't think of this as a Christmas passage. And honestly, it really isn't. And I'm not going to try to make it fit that. But I want to preach to you a message here in the 27 minutes or so we have remaining. How to run with horses. How to run with horses. Jeremiah chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. In other words, God, can I talk to you? I've got some questions for you. You ever feel like that? Lord, if I could just kind of... I have some questions. That's what he's saying. Let me talk with thee of thy judgments, right? Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? That's a good question. How come bad people win? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Well, the Bible doesn't apply to today. Yeah, absolutely it does. People dealing with other people treacherously. Why are they happy, Lord? Why are they blessed? Reminds me of Psalm 73. Thou hast planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. In other words, they talk a big talk about God, but they don't know anything about God. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart towards thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? All these wicked people are bringing our country down. That's what he's saying. The beasts are consumed and the birds because they said, he shall not see our last end. In other words, God doesn't know what's going on. God doesn't care. Now, you don't see it in the narration here, but God's going to answer. Some of you in your Bibles, you probably have a little heading that says God's answer. That's because in the original writings, there's an indication that God is now responding to him. And what does he say? He says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustedst, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Dear Lord, help us, help me, encourage us through your Holy Spirit. In your name, amen. A little bit of background here, and then we're going to hit four R's. Boom, 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 boom. All right. Who is Jeremiah? Well, Jeremiah, his background at the beginning here, he was a young man, probably 20 or younger. And his dad was a priest. So he assumed naturally that he would go into the family business. Now, being a priest, I'm not going to say it was easy because it certainly wasn't. But you didn't have to, like, there was a lot of priests. And so you didn't have, you would go in when it was your turn. You would, if you were a high priest, you would end up going into the Holy of Holies. That certainly was a tense time because if things weren't done properly and you had impurity, etc., God could strike you dead. So certainly there was some tension probably involved in that, right? But as far as a difficult job, there were other more difficult jobs. For example, if you were alive in that day, you would much rather be a priest than a prophet. Priests were generally appreciated for what they did. Prophets generally were not, if they were God's prophets, because they would speak the truth to people who didn't want to hear it. So God shows up on the scene, and Jeremiah is living a pretty good life. He's got a career plan, a career path for him, and he's ready to do that. And God shows up and says, actually, Jeremiah, you're not going to be a priest. I want you to be a prophet. And we won't go through all the details here, but I do want to point out that one author said that we don't know, no other prophet do we know as much about his internal thoughts and feelings. Because Jeremiah wasn't kind of this Elijah character, where just bold and strong naturally. You know, I think of Tom Farrell whenever I think of Elijah. Some people, I mean, we've had him here many times over the years. Some people call him double barrel Farrell. Because, man, once he starts preaching, it's just, vroom, 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 right? I mean, just, I think of Elijah when I think of him. That's just me in my own head. Jeremiah was personality-wise much different than an Elijah. He doubted himself. He was worried. He was concerned. In fact, he's known as the what prophet? The weeping prophet. God calmed his fear by telling him not to be afraid of their faces. You remember that passage? Because most of the time, if we know the Bible, we pull out that passage in humor to encourage someone that's nervous about speaking in public. And we say, well, don't. The Bible says, be not afraid of their faces. That's funny. It is. But in context, it actually is given to a person who's going to have to do a whole lot of public speaking. And he says, Jeremiah, don't pay attention to the looks on their faces. I'm right on the edge of needing glasses. I can drive without them, but really they make everything clear. I take them off oftentimes when I'm on live stream just so that it helps with the lights. If you have to wear glasses, nothing you can do about it, but I take them off. But it does have a nice side effect. And that is, I can tell who you are, most of you, because this is home church for us, but I can't tell if you're frowning or smiling. So I can just imagine. Everyone is smiling. Right? Well, Jeremiah is encouraged by God, and then finally, Jeremiah starts serving God with an unpopular message to unreceptive fellow citizens. In fact, I'm going to give you five characteristics of the country in which he lived. They were in a time of peace, but God repeatedly mentions their idolatry. Their worship, number two, their worship of the sex god Ishtar. And I'm not going to go into details on all the things that went on in the name of that, but all kinds of perversion. They perverted the law. Basically, they called evil good and good evil. Is this starting to sound familiar, perhaps? They allowed the oppression of the weak. May we never turn our eyes away from the weak. And then they gloried in infanticide. Now, Israel is not the United States. We're living in a different age, and frankly, I'm glad we're not under the law. Amen? But I see some commonalities here, and because I see some commonalities, I can give you some encouragements from God's Word. Are you ready? Here we go. First R, release. We're going through some difficult times. I don't like to say unprecedented times, because if you look through history, there were a lot worse times that we could have been living in. But what we're used to, these are difficult times. People are struggling with health. People are, their businesses are failing. Some have had to close up. Fear of the future. All kinds of things are going on right now. Jeremiah struggled not knowing the why. My first encouragement to you here is simply this. Release your expectation to know the reason. God comes on the scene and you realize God doesn't answer him. Very rarely, I'm saying rarely, probably never, but I don't want to say that because there might be some example that I'm not thinking of right now. Because I still haven't memorized the whole Bible, okay? Because there's some, you know, there'll be some example in there that someone will email me later. Well, you were wrong because, okay, so I can't think of an example right now where God directly answers. Even in Job, I remember sitting in under, what was the name of that class we were in? Dr. Coster's here. I remember you were teaching through Job. It was like 20 million years ago. And we were in the Maranatha class. That's what we did. We joined the Maranatha class for a while. That had been like 2004 or something like that. Going through the book of Job. And God doesn't directly answer the things that Job says. The same thing with Jeremiah. Listen, sometimes we want to know the reason why. And that's natural. That's human. But friends, if you're not going to obey God, if you're not going to be faithful, if you're not going to trust God unless you know the reason why He's allowing things to go on in your life, you're not going to make it. Well, that's very encouraging. Well, listen, it may not seem like it's encouraging, but listen, we don't have to understand in order to obey. There is a great freedom in that. Because it releases us from this expectation. We have not been perfect parents, but we tried when the kids were young. My wife's been a perfect parent. I have not. But when the kids were young, we tried to get them to obey right away. Now, as they are older, we communicate with them the reasons, because we want them, when they go out on their own, to understand the principles. But the first step was to get them to, listen, obey. Well, why? Because I said so. Right? How many of you remember that? Listen, we can be the same way with God, though, sometimes, don't we? Now, sometimes God does kind of peel the veil back and shows us. Remember that trial you went through 3 years ago? Remember when you faced cancer? Remember when you had this horrible thing happen to you and you don't know why it happened? Listen, now you get to minister to someone else in the same condition. Now, sometimes God does that, and that's so encouraging, because then we can look back and we can say, God allowed this for this reason. But it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes we go through something and we never know this side of heaven. Why? But release that expectation. I don't have to know why. Why is God picking on my home church? In the middle of a pandemic, then we get a flood. Then people are going through horrible health difficulties and have passed away. Right? We keep tabs of what's going on. We check in on the live stream. Praise God for the technology. I told Pastor Mark, I said, I often tune into the announcements. Sound kind of funny, but it just, the timing works out. And I'll tune into the announcements to find out what's going on. We listen to some of the preaching of Pastor Dan as well, kind of touch and go there. I can't listen to all of them as we're going around traveling, but we know what's going on. And if I didn't watch any of those things, my mom gives me a weekly bulletin. But in my heart, and I'm distant, we're traveling, we're on the road, I can think in my heart, why is God picking on Calvary Baptist? Well, guess what? You're not the only one in these conditions, right? You're not the only church going through difficulties. But you don't have to know why. Oh, it'd be nice. But release that expectation. It'll give you a freedom. God's people don't live by explanations. We live by promises. We don't live saying, well, God will explain Himself. That's how we know. No, we live by promises. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hey, we can live by that. Release expectation. Number two, remember. Remember. Remember what? Well, remember, you're running a race. He's talking about running with the horses here. And we'll finish with that. But the whole concept is that we're running a race. And of course, directly in the church age, we're told by Paul himself that, hey, I'm running this race. Remember that? He gives athletic pictures of what it's like. God called Jeremiah to a harder task than what he was expecting. We were here for 4 hours or so yesterday going through tech rehearsal to get everything right for tonight. And I appreciate Brother Larry Macklin, Adam Garrison, Brother Jim Harlow, and just them spending their time yesterday to make sure everything's going to be ready for tonight. And so we're working with video and different things, and I'm hoofing it up and down those stairs. Right? Any of you who have had to unexpectedly run through an airport and you just get to the gate and you're just like, man, I wasn't expecting that. Jeremiah wasn't expecting to have to run a race. Guess what? You're running a race. Philippians chapter 3, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, you may not have expected 2020 to turn into this race. You may have expected, like we did, that, man, 2020 is going to be amazing. This is going to be great. We're going to do this. We're going to pay down that debt. We're going to do that. Hey, we bought a car at the end of January. Horrible time to buy a car. Right? It's a race. It's not rest time yet. There awaits a rest for God's people. Number three, realize. Realize what? All right, hear me carefully. Here we go. Realize it's going to get worse, not better. Well, thanks for that, Brother Ben. I thought you said this was going to be an encouraging message. Jeremiah is saying in chapter 12 here, he's saying, Lord, particularly in chapter 3, or verse 3 and 4, he's saying, Lord, how long is it going to be until you fulfill your promises? In other words, he knows God has promised wonderful things. He's still living in a country, in a land of peace. And at one point, he has no idea the message that God is going to give him where it's not going to get better. In fact, the nation is going to go into captivity and Jeremiah is going to be treated like the enemy of the state. And he is going to be imprisoned. He's going to be left for dead. He's going to be dumped in a pit where he can't even move and friends will have to come pull him out. He is going to be challenged by authorities where they're saying, quit preaching this message. And so God says to him, if you've run with the footmen, in other words, other men, and they have wearied thee, how are you going to run with horses? Be real honest with you. If you think the difficulty that we've been experiencing, I'm going to make it specific to God's people. We've been traveling throughout this year. Sometimes we'll get to a place and there's nobody there and we just do a virtual service. Other times there's people, kind of like what's going on here. You got people watching live stream. Some people are in person, etc. When we go to a church, we adapt and adjust to what that church is doing. That's our job. So we do that. We've done that since, well, the whole year. It's amazing to me to see the differences of opinion in different churches as we travel. What grieves my heart is the attacking of fellow believers over things like masks. Oh, he said it. Listen, if you think it's difficult to come to agreement or live and let live with other people on the issue of masks, if you're running with the footmen and you're struggling, all kinds of stuff is coming down the pike that we as God's people are going to have to wrestle through. So if you're tired of this now, there's a lot more coming. What does that mean? Love God dearly with all your heart and ask Him to put such a love for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that even if someone comes to a different conclusion than you, you're not going to go on social media and rip them a new one. What kind of testimony is that? Listen, I'm not perfect in this area, okay? I've had to take posts down and write people, I'm sorry, right? Because we all have our ideas and our opinions and we're all medical experts. But I'm being serious here. Listen, if you can't function now when it's just a trickle, he says, in the swelling of Jordan, when it floods, then you're toast. And what worries me, what bothers me, is to see such division among God's people, not that we come to different conclusions. Listen, you have the Holy Spirit inside you, and one of our Baptist distinctives we draw from the Word of God is individual soul liberty. But for some reason, that just goes out the window these days. Well, you got to agree with me or else this, la da da da. Listen, tougher times are coming, and we've got to be ready for it. And the way to be ready for it, yeah, we should be aware of what's going on, etc., we got to be strong in the spirit, not in the flesh. And boy, does my flesh want to rise up sometimes. So, Brother Ben, I'm a patriot and the government's taken over and all this stuff. I don't have all the answers for that. And you know what? It would have been really difficult back in 1776 to figure out what you were going to do. If you read some history back in those days, people were not in agreement. Some people are like, we're going to do this. No, we need to do this. No, we need to do that. And all this type of stuff. Listen. Difficult times are coming. Now, I'm praying and asking that the Lord would see fit to bless us and have this coronavirus. I mean, we've dealt with it for a long time. I'd really love to not have to deal with that anymore. But as you folks know, it's kind of like this year, coronavirus starts, and then we've got these gigantic hornets, that come, and I've seen these memes that are like, oh, release the hornets now, and then we've got this, and that is always something else coming. And listen, that's the future. You say, you don't believe God? Listen, God was telling Jeremiah, it's going to get more difficult. If you can't keep up now, then what are you going to do? We've got to be strong in the Lord. Or else we'll turn on each other and the world will laugh. Listen, the world's scared to death. We cannot be driven by fear. You say, well, Brother Ben, I'm an at-risk category and I need to live stream. Yeah, do that out of making a wise choice. My grandma's watching. I don't know which camera I'm on, but hi, Grandma. Right? She's watching the live stream. I'm glad she's in a high-risk category. Right? If you're watching and you're there, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Make wise decisions. Do what you need to do for your family. Amen. And do it out of thinking through it and praying about it, not out of fear. Right? You follow what I'm saying? People around us are so motivated by fear. And the biggest thing that has been in my own heart that has challenged me, but especially as we see God's people, is there is fear taking over God's people. I'm not going to be specific, but I've seen people standing here and then a little three-year-old kid walks in the door and they're so afraid of the three-year-old kid that they start moving this way and going, "This, oh, there's a child in here." At first, I was tempted to chuckle a little bit. And then I realized that they were so overwhelmed with fear. Listen, we cannot be. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. If our world needed clear thinking right at any point, it's right now. Let it be God's people. But then very quickly, I want you to see number four. And this is where it leads right into this. Rely. Rely. Brother Ben, this isn't very encouraging. Well, I'd rather challenge you with something true than sweeten you with something that's untrue than with a lie. But listen, God never leaves us without hope, and He doesn't leave us without strength. Do you realize we have to rely on God's grace to do the impossible? What was God expecting Jeremiah to do? Think about this. If you run with the footmen and they've wearied thee, how are you going to run with horses? So what did God want Jeremiah to do, actually, in the metaphor? Run with horses. Now think about that for a second. Top speed for a horse. I don't know where Paul Reese is, so he can probably help me with this. I tried to do my research, but I read that the top speed of Usain Bolt was 27.4 miles per hour, and that was just a portion of 100 meter. Okay, so that was the top speed that he got to for one portion of it. Secretariat reached 49 miles per hour. Now, you're taking, you know, one of the fastest horses, if not the fastest horse, and you're comparing to the fastest human. We're talking double here. In other words, God wanted Jeremiah to do something that was humanly impossible. This is where the encouragement comes. Follow me now. I don't want the lost world to look at me and be able to explain me. You follow what I'm saying? I don't want the lost world to look at our churches. I don't want the lost world, I don't want the community to be able to look at Calvary Baptist Church and explain it all humanly. There needs to be some miracles going on. There needs to be a supernatural energy that's going on here. Yes, we're responsible. We put our shoes on, right? Every day. We go to work. We do our things. But we want to be energized and powered by the Holy Spirit. Because then we'll see God's results. And we will see God do things that are like running with horses. How did they do that? Well, guess what? They didn't. God did it through them. Lest you think that I'm just standing up here beating you over the head, we pray for you. The amount of help and support that has gone out, for example, during the flood that came in, and the amount of help and community outreach, praise God for those things. We're so excited when we see those and appreciate the updates that you put on social media as to what's going on. Keep it up. Don't quit. Keep asking God to move, asking God to work, because then we'll look back and we'll say, wow, remember that? God sure did something special, didn't he? See, friends, I believe this. I'll close with this illustration. Even though it's a little self-deprecating. I couldn't find my iPad yesterday. And I thought maybe it had fallen out of the car and I'd run over it. You know, this year's supposed to be getting out of all the Verizon contracts that I've gotten over the years. You know what I'm saying? As we get through those, I'm thinking, I'm just about ready to pay this off. And I run over it. So it's in the middle of the night. We're out in the car. It's like negative 50 and we're freezing trying to find it, all this stuff. Well, finally, I just said, well, and my sermon was on it, you know, so I'm trying to review my sermon, all this. Long story short, I finally said, well, that's it, right? 1:30 a.m. or whatever time it was. That's it. We'll just have to deal with it, figure out what's going on. And we turned the lights out and I laid my head back and there was something hard underneath my head. And I started laughing. Amanda was falling asleep and she rolled over. She said, what's so funny? And I pushed the power button. And so in the middle of the dark night, an Apple logo shone brightly. You found it. Where was it? It was behind my head all the time. I probably would have slept on it, right? I was praying, Lord, where is this? Where is this? And the answer was right behind me. How long have we been praying for God to do something special in our country, in our nation, in our churches, in our families? How long has it been that we've been praying? It's been as long as I've been traveling. There's been churches all around that have been begging God, Lord, send revival like you've done before. Lord, do something special. And then when God steps down and just does this, and upsets the apple cart of our country, Lord, what are you doing? No, I'm not God. I don't speak for God except for what he said in his word. But do you think you could hear God saying, I'm answering your prayer? Boy, if your confidence was in, well, pretty much anything. If your confidence was in health, well, if your confidence was in economics, oh boy. If your confidence was in people, friends, we are now living in a time where we can see God do amazing things. Yeah, we're part of the country. We're part of this world. But don't be discouraged. Let me put it this way. Don't stay discouraged. If you get discouraged, hey, that happened to a lot. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Say, Lord, help me to run with horses. I don't want to get tired just doing the normal human stuff. Lord, I want to see you do something great. We all have challenges that we're facing. We all have that neighbor. We've got coworkers. We've got people that we care about. And yet we're going through difficulty. Lord, use me to reach out to them through your power. Run with horses. How can we do that? These principles, may God use them to help us. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Not a Christmas message, but I really believe it's timely for us. How about you, friend? Have you gotten tired running with the footman? Hey, that's understandable. It's hard to trust. It's hard to obey without knowing the reason. Lord, what's going on? Well, maybe you're here this morning or you're watching online and in the quietness of this time, you'd say, you know, that's me. I'm tired. I'm discouraged. It's been tough for me to run with the footman. Would you pray for me? I won't point you out and embarrass you. Wouldn't you mind slipping your hand up? Let me pray for you. Amen. Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. All over. Folks at home. Second question. Maybe you're here or you're watching online and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Oh, friend, if you do not have Him as your Savior, you're not going to have the strength. Your batteries are going to run out. Christmas time is a wonderful time when we can focus on why Jesus came. Yes, He came in a manger. He came as a baby, but as we sang before the message, He was born to die. He came to pay the penalty for your sin debt and my sin debt. Christmas is connected with the resurrection. It's connected with Easter. And friend, if you're here this morning or you're watching online and you've never come to the point when you realize that your sin separates you from a holy God, but Jesus paid your sin penalty on the cross of Calvary and rose again the third day. Oh, friend, let me encourage you. You can trust Him now. In your heart, even now, you can say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died for me. Would you forgive me of my sin? Save me? And He'll do that. And then, friend, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will take up residence in your heart. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And He'll give you the power to run with the horses. Dear Lord, I thank You for this truth in Jeremiah. I thank You that You reveal to us even the difficulties and the challenges of Your servants. Jeremiah would go on to fearlessly proclaim Your truth through tears. You didn't spare him from difficulties and keep him separate from an ivory tower. He went through more difficulties than anyone else. Yet he was faithful to You. Lord, many hands were lifted, and I'm sure people at home as well watching. It's hard not to be discouraged. It's hard not to live by sight, not by faith. Lord, would You strengthen us through Your word? And Lord, if there's anyone in the sound of my voice that's not trusted You as Savior, Lord, I pray today would be that day. Now would be the time when they do so. Help us to trust You and obey You even when we don't understand You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.